was 49 years old. She got sick. We went to Lancaster General Hospital near our house in Pennsylvania. And for 3 days, there was a parade of white coats through her room. They would ask Louise to tell her story. They would poke, and they would prod, and they would stroke their chins, and they would make proclamations. It's only menopause. It's Ebola. It's lupus. And then, on the third day, Louise. Your bone marrow is packed with abnormal cells. They're very strange, but I'm quite certain it's leukemia. Our first job was to find a treatment center for Louise. The doctor gave me the list, and I started calling the ones that were nearest to our house, but they were not interested in having Louise come to them. I mentioned this to the doctor, and the doctor looked at the list of treatment centers, and he said, you know, Louise is very sick. It's very strange, and they're probably worried about their mortality statistics. He began to run his hand up and down the list of treatment centers, and he said, you know, I'm not allowed to make any recommendations. You just have to keep calling the places on this list. And I looked at where his finger had come to rest. And when we got home, I called Johns Hopkins. I called the Weinberg Center. And the doctors at the Weinberg Center said, it is a very strange illness, and we'd like Louise to come here, and we'll see what we can do. Our next job was to wait for a bed. 3 days, 5 days, and then 7 days after her diagnosis, the phone rang and there was a bed. We were down 83, like a shot. I got to the Weinberg Center in the underground parking and I pulled up right next to a wheelchair. Look, Louise, they're ready for us. I wheeled Louise up to the lobby and there was a woman behind a desk. I wheeled her over and I said, this is Louise Solskus. And she has a bed at the Weinberg Center. Oh, great, hon, the woman said. Just give me your papers. I don't have any papers. Have you been to registration? No, I haven't. Well, you have to go there first. Where is it? Oh, yeah. So to get to registration, you take these elevators over here. You go up to the third floor, and when you get up the elevator, you turn right, go all the way, turn right, and turn again, and then there'll be a glass walkway. Go over that, and then at the end, turn right, turn again, and then, oh, there it is, registration. Okay. Up the elevator, turn right, turn, 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 glass walkway, turn, turn, oh, there it was, registration. I got in line. When it was my turn, I said to the woman behind the desk, this is Louise. She has a bed at the Weinberg Center. Okay, hon. She handed me a clipboard, a bag of papers, fill these out. So I went to the side, and we filled out the papers. Got back in line, gave the woman the clipboard. She took the papers off and gave me a couple of copies in return. There, she said, you're all set. All set. Where do I go now? Oh, well, now you have to go to the front desk. The front desk. Oh, to get to the front desk, you leave out of here, and you turn left, and you go all the way, turn, turn, walkway, turn, turn, elevator, down to the front desk. Well, I knew that. scarves, white coats, and then finally, we were alone. We just had taken a deep breath when another face appeared at Louise's door. It was an internist. She introduced herself, and she pulled a chair up to Louise's bed and sat down right at eye level with Louise. "Louise," she said, "I'd like you to tell me your story." Louise was tired of telling her story. "From when?" she said. And the intern said, "Well, how about from the last time that you felt well?" And Louise's eyes got wide. "Really?" "Yes," she said. "I think that's an excellent place to start." And so Louise began her story. And an hour later, the internist rose to leave and headed for the door. Just as she was going out, she turned and looked over her shoulder. "Louise," she said, "you've come to a good place. They'll take good care of you here." And she was gone. And Louise turned to me and she said, "Joe, I feel safe for the first time in 10 days. There was 30 days of inpatient chemotherapy. And at the end of that 30 days, we got word that Louise could trade one safe space for another. She was going to be able to come home, and it was delightful to have her there. On the 9th day that she was home, her temperature spiked. The ambulance came, and she was back down 83, headed back to the Weinberg Center. I followed in my car. She was in 5A, and this time I knew exactly where to go. When I got to Louise's room, they were just wheeling her back in from tests. Joe," she said, "it's leukemia. It's back. And this time, it's mad." And the leukemia was mad. And there was more chemotherapy. And Louise got smaller and smaller and further away. Until one evening, at 6 o'clock, she disappeared. I packed up the things in her room and my own things that happened in the past, and I headed home. The next day, as I started on that slow roller coaster ride of grief, the phone rang. It was Louise's doctor from the Weinberg Center. "Joe," he said, "I don't usually do this. I don't usually make this kind of call, but I wanted you to know that none of us expected Louise to die yesterday. It took us all off guard. And we've had to spend today telling each other stories. We've gathered the nurses together to let them have space to exchange stories about Louise and about you, about Louise's grace in the face of her illness and your persistent advocacy. We all have a story about you and Louise. And I wanted you to know this. We share in your loss." And I was grateful for that. And I thanked him. And that's how Louise and I became part of Johns Hopkins' story. And that's how Johns Hopkins became part of ours.